Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Just dance, 8:39 on this Tuesday edition of Palmetto Mornings. We're looking at 66 degrees right here on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer. You can also watch us on Comporium Channel 103. Download that free WRHI app. Join us live on Facebook. We're there Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. And if that's not how you can find us, simply go to WRHI.com and push the streaming button, and voila, you're right here with us.
This Saturday, September the 18th, voters in the Clover School District will head to the polls to vote on a school bond referendum. This is a $197 million bond referendum. District leaders say if passed, the funds will be used to build a second high school, an eighth elementary school, upgrades throughout the district, an innovation and technology center, just to name a few. If passed, this will include a tax increase. School leaders say Clover High School is currently the eighth largest high school in the state of South Carolina. Yesterday, we heard from those that are opposed to this bond. This morning, we're going to hear from those that are in favor of this bond. We've got Jeff Dubisky joining us. And good morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning, Patty, Lucas. Thank you for having me.
All right. So before we begin, we'll have you explain a little sweat equity into this. So you had a student that was at Clover High School and now she has moved on?
Yes. My daughter was joined actually Griggs Road in second grade and went right straight up through Clover High. She's now a sophomore at Anderson University. And I just love the school district. She flourished in the programs that are there. We have such a great community that has always rallied around the schools. And I just love them. So my daughter is out of the school. I don't have anybody in the schools, but someone's got to continue to pay for the growth.
All right. Well, of course, we heard from the folks that were against the bond referendum yesterday, and we made a couple of notes, some of their questions and just some problems with it a little bit, or what they would like to know. First of all, was about the date. They didn't understand why it needed to be on a Saturday. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. And I'm not sure if, other than the typical November type dates that come up are tend to be chosen. But you know, when we took a look at actually going back to November 2020, the planned September vote was announced at one of the York County Council meetings, and actually was covered in the Herald. And the reason for choosing this was not only to have time to actually bring people up to speed on what the projects were, but to be able to focus singularly on this particular effort. I think we've gone through a very embroiled political season as of late, and lots of people going to the polls on lots of different things, lots of emotions coming in. So the ability to just focus on one particular item, go to a particular date, made sense.
Now, it's also interesting as it relates to a tax increase, because right. Again, when you're looking at something that impacts our schools within a community, you have just million-dollar homes on Lake Wylie. Then you have Clover, third, fourth, fifth generations right. that love their life. And then you have some that no longer have children in school and some that have five or six children in school. Absolutely. It's really a lot of variation, diversity. So when you look at a tax increase, it's relative to the household income as to whether that's a lot or a little bit. So how would you explain the impact on taxes with this bond referendum?
No, it's a great question. And I think there's a couple of pieces to unpack in there specifically. So you're right. We have a very diverse group of individuals on the entire district. And when you think about it, there's no good time to have a tax increase. I mean, if this was 2018, 2019, people might be sitting here saying, I still don't want a tax increase. And we understand that fully. When you also take a look, however, at what is the, and you mentioned the word a couple times, impact. So two things to unpack there. Number one, impact fees, which have been a big part of consternation around this, is how the county would assess new homes being built, new apartments being built, new condos, new mobile homes. And that has been something that the school district has been asking since 2018 to actually have those monies come in, similar to Fort Mill and others that have been granted that. And the county council actually didn't approve that until late 2019 and put it in place 2020. That actually has now cost the taxpayers well over $30 million when you take a look at all the homes built and those about to come up because they only granted 4,000 rather than 14,000, so roughly 28% of the ask.
But isn't that still growth paying for growth?
Well, it is growth paying for growth. It is, absolutely. And the counter argument is that it might stunt the growth, which it hasn't in Fort Mill. And other areas. Exactly. So that's kind of part A. Part B is going to be the actual dollar increase in taxes to individuals. And that's based on assessed value of the home. And that's the other thing that we got to be very careful of is that people are looking at their tax bill and thinking about what their home is worth versus what it's assessed at. So you really need to take a look at that. And I know that yesterday you spoke very specifically about the fact that it's a rule of thumb pretty easy. $10 per month per 100,000 of value, hence $20 for 200,000, 30 for 300,000. It's not, again, not a great time anytime to raise taxes, but I would also say in this economic times, in the pandemic, we have seen more growth in people buying homes than before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We have a 3.9% unemployment rate currently in York County, and I don't think you can walk into any business and not find a help wanted sign. And last year, personal savings climbed higher than it has in 50 years. And credit card debt is down lower than 20 years running.
That's good news.
So when we think about economic viability, and I'm not saying that there aren't people hurting. I understand that. I think we have to take a look at all sides.
Jeff, the folks that are against it say they're not against education. They just feel like, one, that the bond is rushed. Two, they don't like the extra tax increase. Mm-hmm. If this bond does not go through on Saturday, what message does that send then to the community?
Well, let me go back to, is it rushed? Again, if you think about it, and I was part of the 2014-15 campaign that was $67 million. Most of the individuals in the Lake Wylie area were absolutely upset that there was no high school included in that bond. And the discussion was, if you look at the projected growth, in about 10 years, we would need another high school. We're at 7 years asking for money for a high school that will open in roughly 3 years. We're on that 10-year track here. So when you think about now people saying, is it rushed? It's been talked about since 2014, 2015. There were forums where community leaders, business leaders, parents, lots of people came in through different design sessions and open forums to discuss what could or could not be included in there. And then lastly, a huge push from April till actually to date with town halls, forums, online, you name it, to get the word out. So is it rushed? I think there's a couple of things that are for us by doing this right now. Number one, the land is available because that was purchased years ago. Number two, the bond market is at historic lows. The financial rating of the school system should lock us in about 2-2.5%, although the numbers that have been given to people is about 5% just so they can understand the high water mark. If we were to delay and the bond market shifts, which it always could, 1% in a shift in a bond market, it equals about 3 mils. That's a big impact to individuals. And lastly, if you think about, well, what if we wait a year? I've heard that. Why don't we just wait another year or so? Number one, the price of steel continues to go up. But number two, if we compress the timeline to open doors to an inadequate and aggressive schedule, we run into overtime charges, we cut into significant overages. And so I think a planned and intentional pace on this works very well. So is the timing now? Again, I don't think there's any good time to ask for tax increases, but the timing is correct. And if you look at how we're going to move students through into middle school changes, a new elementary school, and stage the eventual split, so to speak, of the high school, the timing's perfect.
And right now you just have the one high school.
It is the one. It's a 50-year-old facility. And the only reason that it has actually sustained its level, which we talked about in the 2014-15 bond campaign, is there was a relief valve in changing the middle school into a ninth grade academy that moved 700, 900 kids out of the high school, created a bit of that relief valve and capacity, put another middle school on the other side to balance out the growth in the district here. And so now it's sort of reconsuming those particular assets. And that alone by the way, saves the taxpayers $40 to $50 million because another middle school doesn't have to be built. That will simply be converted for about $2 million.
Jeff, every time a school bond comes up, it divides communities. We've seen some bonds pass with flying colors, and we've seen others, you know, crash and burn, so to speak. At the end of the day, families are still going to move to the area.
They are.
You can't turn them away.
You cannot.
So if you don't present a bond, how else could you keep up with the growth that every school district in our community is seeing?
It's a great question. I think Dr. Quinn has really stepped into this specifically over the last couple months in the town halls to say that Plan B is basically a number of things that Fort Mill and others have been equated to, which is mobile units, which unfortunately drain significant dollars. You're talking $30,000, $35,000 per unit. You have to grade the area. You have to run utilities into it. You have to do a lot of stuff, which, and when you add that up over a period of time, again, just takes dollars away from long-term solutions and creates short-term Band-Aids. And quite honestly, the growth that we just saw, 600 students in enrollment versus the average of around 250 just this past year, might actually push into mobile units regardless. The second piece, quite honestly, is whether or not you have to redraw some lines and create a different relief valve. Now, if you take a look at actually in Clover proper, Kynard and Larne are very close to each other. There's actually some capacity there. So you can shuffle some people around.
These are elementary schools.
Elementary yeah. school, absolutely. Okay. But again, I think there's disruption to the kids, to parents and teachers. We all have to go through some type of growing pains, and I think that's just one of them.
But the state, we don't get an endless supply of money from the state.
We get no state money in terms of buildings. So we get operating expense, which is a great point, by the way. If you look at your tax bill, we get operating expense money. That's for payroll, keeping the lights on. The rest in regards to buildings, even buses, has to be raised by local residents. And so when you think about what's next, not only that, but then you have to go back to the drawing board. A bond has to be raised
and a bond has to be sold,
yeah. Period.
So if you go and this is voted down, then it's back to the drawing board to figure out what will pass because, like you said, growth is here.
Yes, that is the next result. What's interesting, though, is what will pass. Again, there were a number of focus groups, lots of intentional time with individuals, and walked through what was planned, why it was needed, and almost universally, the thought was, I can deal with this. There's little pieces that I'm not necessarily on board with, but overall, I understand the need. And so, quite honestly, the change in the shift in momentum that we've seen more recently really is, I think, a little bit of misunderstanding and a little bit of some of the disconnectedness. And you know, if you're a retiree, I understand you don't have kids here, but let's face it. People that are working are paying into retirement and pension funds for those retirees and vice versa. We are in a distributed society. We're in a wonderful area here in York County and Clover, and we're here for each other. And this is just part of that balance.
Well, if you want more information before the vote on Saturday, you can go to the Clover School District's website. Halfway through the homepage, just scroll down. On the left, there's a big box that says CSD, Bond Referendum, Bond Information. Just click on it to learn more. Do your research and get ready to hit the polls this Saturday, September the 18th, for those that live in the Clover School District. Polls will open from 7 to 7. Jeff, thank you so much. Jeff Dubisky is with the Vote Yes for the Clover School Bond Referendum Committee.